Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach. I'm here with Laura. We're here today with Sean and Andrew. We're excited about that. About a year ago, we got to hang out with Andrew East, Sean Johnson. They have a podcast called Couple Things Pod that we were invited to join and talk about all things couples therapy. You should definitely check it out. It's on the YouTubes. After we recorded that, Laura and I got in a fight about it, which was fun. We later recorded another episode called Zach and Laura Hash It Out, I think it's called, which is cool for me and for us. We counted as one of our favorite episodes. And since then, we've been trying to figure out how to do part two with these guys. Sean Johnson, if you don't know, was an Olympic gold medalist and also a mirrorball champion on Dancing with the Stars. Her husband, Andrew, played in the NFL for a little while. They are adorable. They have a great story. They're doing very, very good and cool work in the couples space, sending out good vibes. Today, we just talked to them about what it's like for them to be married, what some of their challenges are, what they're working on. They have an exciting new project that we get to tell you about at the end. We just hit the ground running with these guys because they're fun. We're fun. We all enjoyed talking to each other. This is a very cool conversation. Stick around.
It is amazing how many things Sean wins. I'm like, stop it. Leave some for the rest of us.
You too. We're just super competitive.
I did not, dude. I don't do as well. Freaking ninja. I've fallen on my face.
What were you? Are you doing ninja? Are you competing in ninja right now?
Sean is. No, I didn't make the cut.
He did it. He's done it twice and you like haven't trained and you get past half of the, like, you way outdo like the average guy there who's trained his whole life for it.
Thanks, babe.
It's okay. Amazing. I do have a question. We're just jumping right in because, what do two ex athletes do as they get older? And sorry to say ex. So rude.
No, it's fair. It's fair.
But what do two aging humans with children yes. do
what
when they can no longer
the
compete?
Hill, over the hill, 30-year-olds do
midlife
but what's
crisis.
What's like the next yeah. thing?
We try to just find anything that kind of gets our competitive side engaged. So literally anything. We've
you
done.
Compete with each other.
We can. Oh yeah, that never ends well though.
Wait, didn't there was something you guys recently competed on that was hilarious. What was it that you were doing? Some sort of like body weight exercise.
Yeah.
Oh, you put him on your back and you were doing squats with him on your back. You were doing push-ups. Hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was pretty impressed with the squats, by the way.
Thanks. That was hard. We compete like in everything.
I will say the good thing about us being competitive is like it makes everything a fun game.
Yeah.
Like today we're assembling a baby toy and there's a bunch of screws involved.
And we were racing to see who could screw the screws in faster.
But what we haven't figured out is how to do that without being like salty with each other. You know what I'm saying? Like you can
I
be
like
competitive.
The salt. I like it.
Yeah. No,
it's
but it's 24/7.
Spice of life, right?
It's all the time. So it's a little, sometimes I'm like, Sean, just let me live my
You're
life.
You're just mad that I won.
Should we introduce these two?
I've lost friendships before because people will tell me that they feel like they're losing a game they don't even know they're playing. Does that happen to you guys?
I could see that with you because everything becomes like a debate just for the heck of it.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I haven't lost that many friendships, fortunately.
You haven't, actually.
But I am pretty
And I'm still here for you, Zach. So
thanks.
Yeah. I'm hurts, fine with guys. Losing every game against you. I have a whole bunch of questions to ask the two of you that are relationship related. If you guys are down to, and we might see if there's like a teaching moment in there. Cause I want to learn from you guys. I also would love to hear Zach's perspective, but are you guys down to answer personal questions about your relationship?
I would love that.
I like what you said too the other day though, Andrew, you said something like, we don't want to, what was the word you used? It's like a philosophy.
Gossip about ourselves.
Gossip about ourselves. I love that. Like,
what does that mean?
So, you know, those people where like, they'll just show up and be like, hey, can I vent to you? And then it's like, they're just vomiting everything that, and they haven't even filtered it themselves where it's like,
That's therapy.
Know, talking about, you know, my wife was like this, and but mm-hmm. I feel like there needs to be, there should be a first step of like, hey, can I process this myself and actually think through, I was actually, my emotions were out of line there. So that's not that big a deal. I should have just been more chill. And actually she was right. Like, you know, you can get so caught up in the moment where it's just, it's unfiltered gossip about yourself. So where it's like, maybe you should deal with that problem yourself before sharing it with the world a little bit, yeah. you know?
Are you naturally an internal processor though? Cause I think there's two types of people that are A-okay with having an issue and then going inward, processing. And then when they're ready, they come out and they give you the nice filtered, logical, bullet pointed things of what's going on.
I am that, but I'm
you
saying
are that
I'm saying,
I am not that.
Well, who's the other person? Like if
the external like unfiltered external verbal vomit, it's like, I want to like all of these things. Yeah.
That's I'm feeling real. All of it. And like, I want to talk about it and I want to fight about it. And I want to like get it out. And then I'll come back a day later and be like, actually, I was just hungry.
No, that's what I'm saying. You should deal with that. That should be the first step. I don't care if you're
internal. No, but you need to know my feelings.
Yeah.
You can share them without being so sharp with them.
That's my
feelings. Yeah, but have you learned, Andrew, to go, hey, do you need a sandwich?
Oh, that's a good one.
Bro.
You know how you carry granola bars in your bag for your kids? You carry one for Sean. Someone's grumpy.
I will give him credit. He has learned that, but he hasn't learned the tone in which to say, can I make you a sandwich? Yeah. It'll be like, eat something now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what questions you had for us guys, but I do have two questions. One, how the frick do I adjust my tone? Cause I'll like ask something nice to Sean and be like, hey Sean, can you help with this? And she's like, why are you mad at me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, I just asked you a question.
Tone is everything to me. 100%. I don't care what you say. Your demeanor tells me everything. And he'll be like, I'm fine.
Yeah. But here's the problem with that tone is not measurable. Tone is only interpretable. So like volume is measurable. We can look at our volume on this thing and go, oh, you're at a 6 or you're at a 10 or you're at a 9. You go, hey, your volume is too loud. Tone is literally only the thing. So I'll be in with clients and Sean will say, don't use that tone with me. And I'll go, wait a second. I'm sorry. Have I heard the tone? Because I don't know if I've heard the tone. And so it's really about something that's embedded in your shared history together and things that you've created, or Sean, you have a sensitivity to tone in a particular kind of way that you've labeled and assigned. And so part of it is, I think just it's sleuthing it out, not necessarily that Andrew has to change his tone, but we have to change our own understanding of how tone works for us. And sometimes you have to be super duper explicit. You might need to say, hey, I might use the tone right now, but can I get you a sandwich? Or, hey, I don't mean to have it sound like the tone, but can you help me out with this thing? Why are you mad? You know, no, remember what I said? This is not so that's a tough tone is a tough one because people tell me all the time about the tone and I go, did I hear it? Because it sounds like normal conversation to me.
I've only heard the tone from you a couple of times.
Me?
Yeah. From you. We know the times cause I talk about them on the podcast and throw you under the bus. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I have this conversation with my wife. My wife and daughters, they always tell me that like I'm using a tone and I'm like, I'm honest to God, not using a tone, but then now I'm using the tone.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm like, not using the tone. I just want the answer to the question. And so now you're using there, see it is. And I'm like, oh my God.
Stop asking me if I'm freaking mad, dude. I'm not mad.
It's a trap.
Just carry on.
Now I'm mad. Now I'm mad.
I will say too, though, the hardest part for me, and I think this might be more like girls, just like I'm the intuition of him, but like, I know if something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I can like tell and I know it might have nothing to do with us, but there is something. Mm-hmm. And so even if he's like, babe, I love you. I'm like, ooh,
that came out a little harsh.
I was like, does it work? And then he just gets pissed. And he's like, no.
Yeah.
Never, never, ever, ever stop checking in. What you're doing is so important. We call it attunement. Like if you're attuned to him and you're paying attention to his body language and you're like, whoa, 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 what was just going on? Like, just keep doing that. I would say, don't ever turn the volume down on that. That is good stuff.
That's exhausting, Laura. That's freaking tiring.
I just got permission to keep asking.
But it's interesting. I literally just had clients where same thing. She's like, he calls it pestering. She's constantly pestering. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? He's like, leave me alone. And it's okay to say, I got to go in my cave deep down inside as my internal processor. And I need to figure out what's going on. I'm not really clear, but she's like making these bids to connect with you. And you can respond back appropriately of like, not ready to talk about this, but I can tell you it's not about you. And then that gives her the check-in of like, okay, all right.
And then I'll be like, oh my God, what's going on?
But okay, here's the thing too. I don't know. Sean gives me too much credit. Like she thinks I'm always in tune with my emotions. And like some days I just wake up and I'm freaking not feeling the vibe that day. There's nothing wrong. I'm just not full tilt hyped. So it's like, and she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I don't have words for this. Yeah. I got nothing.
There's no feeling wheel in front of me. I can't point to it.
We're just doing it. Like here's all our advice. Just so we're going to fix you guys in just 1 second. I think the problem with what's wrong, of course, is now I have to look at myself and go, is something wrong with me?
Yeah.
Mm. You know, I think that there's a way that you can check in with what's wrong by saying, hey, where's your head at? Right. It's sort of an open question that Andrew can say, I don't know, man, I just woke up and I'm not feeling full tilt vibe today, you know, which is not having to defend what's wrong. Though you Sean, seem to, you've kind of copped to having a little bit of a hypervigilance, which is, it's hard. Like that may not work for you, but there's ways I think that we can get the answer to the question we want by asking better questions, maybe is the way to put that.
Like that. Hmm.
Did you have a second question, Andrew?
Yeah. How do you end an argument?
With a hug. Obviously.
Like how do you move on to the next?
How do you guys end an argument?
It always comes to a head and there's like tears or like, there's like an hour of silence and it's like, well, okay, we got to get over this.
I'm like, are we good? And then I'm like, yeah, we're good. And then I'm like, oh, we don't feel good.
And then Sean's like, well, why are you mad? I'm like, babe, we got to get
over
this.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
What's the thing?
And then Andrew says, don't use that tone with me. Why are you using that?
Are there tips, like tangible things?
I'm a huge fan of rituals. This is actually one of the questions I wanted to ask you guys, but I think coming up with some kind of a ritual that the two of you know, you might not have resolved whatever you were just talking about, but at least you've repaired. You've come back together. Because anytime there's a rift, this is Zach's wording, right? He says resolve and repair. Mm. Loves is ours. But if you guys are in an argument, you're disconnected in some sort of way. And the idea is, are we good? Like, basically what you're asking is, have we solved it? No, we haven't solved it, but can we at least feel more connected? And what is the ritual that you need? Is it a high five, a fist bump? Do you guys have like a special like thing that you can do that is just special for the two of you? Is it a hug? Is it a prayer? Is it like, I don't know what it is that you guys want to do, but I think there needs to be some kind of an agreement or a ritual about how you're repairing, regardless of whether or not you've resolved the issue.
I will say, I think there was a couple of things that came out of our last conversation. One is, did you know that we kind of sparked an argument between Zach and Laura?
No.
Live on air.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That episode?
Yeah. Anyway, that's the first thing. The second thing is, I forget the context, but you did mention something like that, Laura. And that did inspire in me that we talked to them a year ago and I'm still doing this where it's like, I'll touch Sean when I need her to hear me and be like, hey, Sean, I need you to know I love you. And like that way, like we just have a little moment in time where we're making eye contact and she feels that in a more
tangible
way.
I don't think I gave you that advice. I think you're thinking about somebody else.
No, I think you did. I think you did.
That's good. I love that you've created that ritual. That makes perfect sense of like connecting in that way.
Yeah.
But we got to figure out how to transition out of an argument still.
Well, yeah. I think, what's our thing? You know, I ask this question all the time because people come into my office and they'll say, you know, we had a fight last week or whatever. Or we had I want to know, how did it end? And it's something like that. Oh, we were crying or she slammed the door. Or I just went into my cave and hung out for a second because obviously that's unsuccessful. But if we reverse engineer, we go, okay, but what are we arguing about anyway? Like, what's the thing that we're doing? Are we trying to get attention? Are we trying to solve a problem? Like if you guys are trying to make a decision and that creates an argument, part of how it has to end is you go, wait a second. We're not working on the decision anymore. Like, let's go ahead and go to bed or let me go take a walk or let's pause this for a moment because arguments end generally the way they start. So if it starts kind of harshly or abruptly, then it's going to end abruptly or harshly. But if you can sort of pause it long enough to go, wait a second, let's restart. And even if that's gentle, then we have a lot more time for success. So, you know, I think sometimes the argument is usually unhelpful and unproductive, period. So what you're asking is, how do we stop the unhelpful or unproductive thing?
Well, what's the, I mean, cause we're, there's going to be conflict. So what's, if it's not arguing, what
conflict
is
conflict's dictated than an argument, right? Like an argument is, well, I guess it depends. Sean said, you like debate, you know how debate works. Like debate is like, hey, let's go at it. Let's do it. And then sometimes you look at your watch and you go, oh my gosh, it's 9:15. I gotta go.
I gotta go.
See you later. You know, that's not an argument. Yeah. That's just a, that's just us having a discussion and we're pausing it because we value the relationship more than we value the conclusion perhaps. And so that's part of it is pausing whatever you're doing that that's putting the relationship in jeopardy long enough to say, hey, let's come back to this when we actually have to make the decision. Conflict usually is the result of being, you know, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. It's not usually the result of the issue itself. And often the argument becomes, comes because we take our eye off the ball, which is the issue. And then we forgot that we were hungry, angry, lonely, or tired.
I feel like it's a trap though, to even if I'm like, wow, Sean got 3 hours of sleep last night and she's being a little salty with me this morning.
Yeah.
If I say, Sean, I think you're just tired. That's not going to, how do we navigate that?
Well, but why would you say that?
Cause we're in an, we're like,
you're having an argument and it, and your conclusion is, Sean, I think you're a little tired.
I'm digging myself a hole right now.
That's what he would say.
So I would say anything that starts with you is probably not a good, a good entry point, right? Like if you're saying, hey, Sean, you're being a little salty. The only way for her to go is to get defensive and be like, you don't know me. I got 3 hours of sleep. Who got up with the baby last night? This gal. Who slept all night long? That dude. Like, there's only one way for her to respond if you start with the you. But instead, if you're like, man, I'm having a hard time today, like feeling kind and generous towards you. What's going on? And just getting curious instead. I think you just like you said, I'm digging myself in a hole right now. If you label your partner, the only thing they have left to do is to get defensive because no matter what you say is going to be inaccurate.
Here's my new money quote, by the way, I'm putting this on a t-shirt or a mug. Any sentence that begins with you should is not worth finishing.
Yeah.
Right.
Good.
Isn't that good?
Start that merch store right up.
Yeah. Hey, no, but I think, Andrew, I had this situation too with my wife because I started becoming an expert in relationships. I was really good at it and people were like really trying to like get my advice about except in my house. Mm-hmm. But I tried out this trick, which was if I was in an argument with her and I thought she was tired or I thought she was hungry or I thought she was flooded or whatever, what I learned how to say was to go, you know what? I'm pretty tired. I'm pretty flooded. I don't think this is going to work if I stay in this conversation. So I need to take a break. It was just it was like a samurai trick almost. Like if I have a suspicion and I might be right, maybe Sean did have 3 hours of sleep last night, but it doesn't help you to go, I think you're just tired. It may help you to go, you know what? I didn't sleep very good last night. I think if I stay in this conversation, I'm probably going to ruin it. And then just see if it changes the exit strategy a little bit. You know,
how do you feel about that?
You like that? I want to pivot because I want to dig into. And
wait,
I'm not
you don't
sure
like it? Are you shaking your head?
I do. I'm nodding my head. That's good.
Okay. Good.
I'm shaking my head at Sean because she's just twisting the. She knows I'm sweating over here.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this to be over and you guys to get into a fight and be like, so remember that last podcast? So yeah. We got in a fight this time.
I think I need a sandwich.
Okay. I do have two questions. Sex and money is what I wanted to talk about with the two of you. Are you guys down to talk about both of those?
Depends on what questions you ask, but generally, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
We want to know how often, what positions, where are you in the room? Like,
do you use toys? Do you not use toys?
We'll cut all that out.
Just
don't
kidding.
Worry about
we won't.
It.
Yeah. I'll start with the money topic. As a couple, I'm curious how you have navigated, and I'm sure that it's transitioned over time. Well, I'm guessing that, but like, how do you navigate sharing money? Have you, like, did you start off in your relationship combining accounts? Do you have separate accounts? I'm just kind of curious, like, how do you do that as a couple?
It's been a journey for us.
Yeah, we've learned a lot.
We've learned a lot. Because when we started dating, I had already been working for about 10 years and had kind of established everything myself. So I was in control of everything on my own. Wow. But we merged everything as soon as we got married, and I through like a lot of transition period, gave up all financial, like, he runs the finances in our relationship.
Mm-hmm. I feel like people are going to listen to this be like, wow, that's a weird situation. But
does that sound weird?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Here's what Sean and I have learned is, like, I think trusting each other in certain delegations of, like, ooh, things that need to be done in life. So, so Sean is phenomenal at, like, making sure the kids are hitting their milestones and getting enrolled and, you know, all that stuff, the logistics. Mm-hmm. She's like so good at, hey, Sean, we need to start Drew's potty training next week. Great. Okay. What does that mean? Right. Mm-hmm. And she has all that down. She has trusted me to like pay the bills and handle the, like, choose our investment advisor and, like, are they, yeah, you know, pay the taxes, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I think to set up checks and balances, Sean and I try to, in many different aspects, have, like, checkups where it's, hey, this is a rough overview of, you know, what the kids are going to be doing the next month. Here's a rough overview of what the finances look the past month. We'll also talk about, like, hey, this, I feel like a pattern that I've seen over the past, we'll have a conversation that's specific for the you should conversations of, like, mm-hmm, hey, you should think about whatever, like, but
don't,
it'll
don't
be
finish
kind
this
of
sentence. Don't finish it. Don't.
It'll, yeah, I know. I was like, where's he going to go with this? Let's hear it.
But it'll be like, we understand that this is a safe zone. It's not, like, emotionally charged. It's, I would like to see this different, moving forward from us. Right. So, but in that conversation, we'll try to just make sure that we kind of have a rough picture of what's going on. So anyway, when it comes to finances, you've trusted me generally.
Yeah. And I'm sorry if the way I set it up sounded bad.
No, it's fine.
But
I don't know. I mean, I'm obviously not Andrew, but it didn't sound odd. I picked these.
I didn't
two
notice
topics.
The tone. I
didn't hear the tone.
Did I see the tone? Most of us stand up on our wedding day and we say something like for richer and for poorer. And if you buy, like, the math piece, like, at that point, one of you mathematically becomes richer and the other one becomes poorer. Like, just the law of averages is like that. And so I think the thing that you guys are reflecting that is, it feels really integrated to me is the idea of how important trust is, because mm-hmm, money can be brutal in the sense that you can measure it. And if you can measure it, you can attach meaning to it and go, oh, well, you make more, so you're worth more. You control the money, so you control the relationship. Like, that's a really dangerous mindset to get in. But I love that you sort of lifted up the idea that two things that sound like a part of it for me. One is that it's been a process and that you've had to go through it a couple times, but that at the bottom of it, it's about trust. It's not about math, you know? So that sounds like, because again, I don't think there's a right way to do it. I don't think merging or keeping separate accounts or, you know, him being in charge or her being in charge, I don't think there's any, like, sort of bona fide right, correct way. The correct way is the way that it is endorsed by the two of you and that it has mm-hmm trust at its core. So,
yeah, I like how you phrase that a lot. I mean, we're still figuring it out for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah, we are too.
Sean, like, her background, she mentioned she turned pro when she was 12. Yeah, when she was 12. But she started, like, earning money when she was 12 years old, which is so abnormal.
Yeah.
And like, she has scars, things have happened to her, the people have taken advantage of her. And I think
in the financial department is what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think we both realize that this can be such a fragile thing to navigate.
Totally.
So we probably over index on, like, being sensitive to each other. It's like, I should probably be stricter about freaking, we can't buy this thing, right? Because it's not in the budget. But we give each other leeway in hopes of, like, maintaining that trust. So I think we probably err on not being rigid enough, but it's working out
good
so far.
Yes. Yeah. And I do think it is like an evolution, especially early on in the relationship, where I've seen a lot of couples where they're kind of like, okay, we're going to merge our accounts. Anytime you have to make a purchase over X amount of dollars, let's talk about it. And I'm, you know, I'm guessing like when you're doing home renovations, and maybe this is all kind of in your realm or on your side of the road there, Sean, of like, okay, I'm going to order this couch and I'm going to order this coffee table and then this piece of art, and it's X amount of dollars. And I'm going to go ahead and do that without checking in with Andrew. And then Andrew sees it and he's like, whoa, we need to have a conversation. And that's where I think I see a lot of couples, they build that trust by having all of these like little mini disruptions where they're constantly refining and saying, that was a little too much money. Let's talk about like next time you want to order an $8,000 couch, can we just have a conversation before that?
Seriously, like that. Sean, with the $8,000 couches, off a little bit.
Yeah.
I remember I tried to get rid of all the credit cards in our house one time. And that, that was not successful.
Didn't go over well. Yeah.
There's so many benefits to having credit cards though. For travel purposes, but yeah.
Totally.
Sometimes we go scorched earth, not just in finances, but like we cannot ever do this ever again.
So that's
like,
what competitive people do.
Yeah.
I tried to get rid of toilet paper in my house during COVID. That was, do you remember when there was like a toilet paper shortage?
Yes.
And everyone was out there buying squeegee bottles and squirt bottles.
What? No, I don't remember this part, Laura. What?
It was only in Bend, Oregon where the hippies live.
Is that like a homemade bidet?
Yeah, yeah, totally. That was a thing. You have to go back and Google it. It was a thing.
Oh my gosh.
Here's a thing that almost broke me and Laura's friendship at the beginning, which is there was a period of time in her house, which has three people in it, that they had one toothbrush.
Stop it. We have to stop talking about the toothbrush. I almost lost a client because of that. They heard an episode. It's true.
We've shared toothbrushes frequently.
Yeah, but you own two toothbrushes or four, right?
We own two.
We shared one electric toothbrush with one head, and the whole family shared it. And it was, yes, I know I'm disgusting, but you know what? I have a great immune system. Fine. My teeth are lovely. No arguments.
Husband has COVID.
That's right.
Okay. I am super interested in what else you do now, Laura.
Hey parents, I'm talking to you. So I'm at the Pancake House chatting it up with my nieces about their kiddos, realizing that their 3 and 5-year-olds have a very slim number of foods that actually make it into their bodies. And I'm talking about macaroni and cheese, yogurt, chicken nuggets. That's just about it, which is why I'm such a huge fan of Hiya Vitamins. They're filling in those nutritional gaps that most kids are missing in their diet. Hiya Vitamins are formulated with the help of nutritional experts. Hiya is pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and vegetables. Then they're supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and nutrients. Of all of these, my favorite are vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, many others to help support immunity, energy, brain function, mood, concentration, teeth, bones, and more. These chewable vitamins don't have any of those added gummies or sugar additives that most of those gummy vitamins contain. And they're doubly awesome because they come with a personalizable and reusable vitamin container that kids get to decorate and refill. Huge fan of trying to reduce waste however I can. So we've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. You receive 50% off of your first order. So to claim this deal, you need to go to HiyaHealth.com/MTR. This deal is not available on their regular website, so be sure to go to Hiya Health. It's HiyaHealth.com/MTR and get your kids the full body nutrients they need to grow into healthy adults.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, I want to talk about sex.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready? Okay. Yes. Feel free to not disclose. Obviously, you got to keep something sacred. But I am curious about how intimacy, sexual intimacy, has shifted or changed since having kiddos.
You don't want to talk about sex. You want to talk about change.
What do you mean?
Well, yeah, I was like, I forgot this question because Laura unveiled the question to me beforehand. I was like, wait, you want to give a sex session? No, you have a change question. I'm actually interested in that too, because it is. We all go through phases. Yeah. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm just curious. I mean, now you have two kiddos. Bodies are changing. Dynamic has changed.
Honestly, nothing comes to mind, which I think is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
everything changed while I was pregnant.
No, yeah. No, I'm not saying like the act itself has not changed much. I feel, but we have been, I mean, you know, you have a kid and then you just have way less time to do anything.
Yeah.
So I feel like the thing that has changed is we've definitely been more explicit, and to your credit, I feel like there's been there was a phase of like, hey, I don't feel like you're physically into me anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so she's been more comfortable saying like, I need physical touch, not sex specifically, but I need a little more like physical affirmation.
Mm-hmm. So you put your hand on your shoulder when you need her attention and you say,
what'd you say?
You say, so you put your hand on her shoulder when you need her attention and.
Yeah, that's all I get. Yeah. No, I have said that. I think that's probably the hardest change that's happened is after kids, it's very easy to get stuck in this rut of only feeling like mom and dad and not feeling like husband and wife. Mm-hmm. And you will do a phenomenal job at like complimenting me as mom, but then I feel like I get lost as spouse. Mm-hmm. And so like I tried, like when we have our check-ins, I try to like verbalize, I don't feel like I've been connected with you. And it doesn't even have to be sexually. Sometimes we can like have sexual connection and still feel disconnected.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I will tell him, I'll be like, I need more, like, I want you to initiate cuddling and watching like TV at the end of the night. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you still see me as wife and not just mom, and not saying good job putting Drew down or whatever, which is an amazing compliment. It makes me feel very happy, but
like a little step further where sometimes I'm like, I don't even need to be known as your wife. Like sometimes I want to be like the smutty girlfriend that you just called over in the middle of the night. Like how can I get a booty call from my husband? Mm-hmm. So we started sending emojis, super inappropriate emojis to kind of initiate the mood. And that cracks me up because that takes me back to like 1999 actually in my day, it was probably 2006. I was a late bloomer, but anyway. Yeah, I need to know how to be the girlfriend back again.
I like that. It's sort of this persona piece that is cool, but it made me start to think about or wonder about like how we need to be supplementing, right? When it changes, when you do have kids or when your libido changes or your body changes or whatever it is, how do we maintain intimacy even if like the rules have changed a little bit, right? You're not the smutty girlfriend anymore. The partner with no kids, like where nobody was going to walk into our room, you know? So how do we emphasize? And I like, there's a model, it's Terry Real's model, who, if you guys don't know who he is, he's pretty fantastic. And, but it's this idea that intimacy comes in five forms, which is emotional, intellectual, physical, sexual, and spiritual. And so physical and sexual are different. And it's sort of, Andrew, what you were saying is sometimes if sexual intimacy has to change, then we dial up physical intimacy, which can be as important. Cuddling, snuggling in front of the TV can be as important to supplement something.
Yeah.
Sean and I have tried to like identify patterns in an effort to understand ourselves and each other better. So like, and then explicitly sharing them, I feel like is the biggest thing that's changed. So it's like at nighttime, I'm freaking tired. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, this isn't,
it's that's not happening.
Like,
not if you try to initiate, access ride tonight.
Like if you try to initiate and like, you're not feeling it back, it's cause I'm tired. It's not cause I'm not into you, but then it's like, but then you run out of windows of time to actually, it's pretty complicated. Like there's a lot to it, but
yeah. When you say it's complicated, have you guys ever heard of a gal named Emily Nagoski? She wrote this book. It's the pink one behind me, and it's called Come As You Are. And this is, I mean, if I'm going to drop another tip to the two of you, it's definitely going to be read the book or listen to the audiobook, because she's just, or just go to her TED Talk. So Emily talks
or
about...
Or get her on your show, because she's crazy good.
Yeah. She's so great. But she just talks about how sex is, and I'm talking about actual intercourse, like having that sexual intimacy, that connection is so much harder. Like the stars are actually aligning. There's so many things that come into play. And it could be that you're tired. It could be that you had nachos for dinner. It could be that like your kid is, you know, you're sleep training and you can hear your kid in the other room and your babe's trying to get up on your business. And you're just like, this is not happening. There's a lot of psychological noise that goes into having your body actually connect to your brain and to your genitals and all of those things. Genitals is such a weird word. Anyway, I said it. It happened.
I agree. As soon as that's dropped in a conversation, it's... Yeah,
it could be, it could be that argument that you had isn't repaired, right? It could be that thing. I think part of what I like to think about is if you do, Andrew, to your question about how do you end an argument, if you do argument right, if you get conflict right, the best outcome is makeup sex, right? It comes all the way back around to we feel closer because we battled through this thing together, mm-hmm. right? And we established that, I mean, it's kind of why... we were watching Wimbledon together kind of this weekend, but I love that these guys who go to battle over the, across the tennis court for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours at a time, the first thing they do after it's over is they hug, mm-hmm. they shake hands. They're like, oh my gosh, this was amazing. Like, this is amazing. And it was sort of like the fact that they suffered through or that they accomplished something. And even though there was a winner and a loser, they appreciated that the contest had to happen and it made intimacy more possible. And so I think if you're talking about how do you end an argument, not that you have to target sex itself, but can you target intimacy? Because that is actually where you get the biggest bang for your buck.
I think I actually, to our credit, think we do a good job at targeting intimacy. I think we're probably off base in how we get there sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I will say the thing we're terrible at is like, you know, hugging after the tennis match. Mm-hmm. Or like the makeup sex. Sean and I don't necessarily create enough margin in our life to like leave room for moments like that, whatever that moment looks like. It's always like, all right, we have 4 minutes to freaking figure this situation out and like resolve this conflict. And then it's off to assemble the kids' furniture, or it's off to chase the little baby, or we have to go to work.
See you at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something we can work on is like, hey, we have,
you guys know the Eisenhower matrix. Have you heard of this? It's not often called that, but it's this quadrant, decision-making quadrant about things that are urgent versus important. You know this? No. So businesses that thrive, relationships that thrive, they are able to focus on things that are important, but not urgent. And of course there are four other options, right? There's important and urgent. There's not important, not urgent. And there's urgent, but not important. Right. So most of us, when we're scrolling Instagram, we're doing things that aren't urgent and aren't important. It doesn't actually change doesn't make us better at anything. It doesn't help us advance our goals. But when you can get ahead of things by focusing on things that are important but not urgent, you create that margin, right? Businesses create that margin, relationships. When you have young kids running around,
Everything's urgent. Yeah.
And so you don't get to stay in that space sometimes where it's important, where you can like really get the traction that you want or that you need in the relationship.
I think we just have to get really good at resolving conflict in front of your kids, because there's almost no time that you can take without your kiddos where you're going to resolve conflict without them, or you're going to be intimate without them. Like, I think you have to get really creative about how to do conflict with your kids in the room. And I think that's also really important so that they can see, you can model for them how to do conflict and how to resolve and how to be intimate.
I love that. In theory, but I maybe it's just the age of our kids. Like the only result of us doing conflict in front of our kids is like Drew, our 2-year-old, says, "Mommy, I need this. Mommy, I need this." And then it gets louder and louder and louder. Yeah, uh-huh. And Sean and I are still trying. And then it's like, then we're both just mad because it's like, we're not going to be able, and it's not even mad at each other, but it's like, we're not going to be able to fix this. And we have this screaming kid. And it's like,
We've even talked about that because we've tried, and it is a phase, and we can, we can work on it. But we've talked about that, the intentionality factor.
Yeah.
We're both kind of perfectionists and we want to be the best at what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so we have a really hard time mixing husband and wife and mom and dad.
Yeah.
Because I want to be the best wife I can possibly be for him. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I will sacrifice and be like, I'm just not even going to attempt to be your wife right now because I want to be the best mom I can possibly be. So then it almost like makes us even more frustrated at each other because he'll be trying to have a conversation or vice versa. And we're just like, no, there's no room or margin, which makes it really difficult.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned this earlier about talking about money is like knowing your role and staying in your lane. Like I'm the money guy. That's what I do. That's my role. And I think it's amazing. You guys have the level of insight that you have, that you're perfectionist, that you have a hard time going back and forth and being like, I'm a mediocre person. I do everything at 70%. So I'm okay being kind of a shitty mom and sort of a shitty wife. I'm fine with that. But the hard part is if I haven't communicated that with my partner yet, and I haven't said like, just need you to know, like I am all mom right now. And there is no part of me that wants to be a wife today. But I think if you guys are able to clarify and verbalize to one another what role you're in, like you said, like, I can't be a wife right now. I can't have this conversation. I've got my girls talking to me. I'm still trying to clean this up, blah, 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 blah. Then I think you're okay. As long as you guys are in agreement that that's the role that you're in at the moment. I found my last novelty question though.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question. And this is, if there was any article of clothing that you could get rid of that belongs to your partner, that you don't, you like absolutely do not want them to wear that gray sweatpants suit again, what would it be?
Oh, I actually, your
you gray have pant, something.
Sweatpant. Yeah. There are certain, Sean, to your credit, looks really good in most things. I never thought I'd like rompers. I generally like, I hate the idea of rompers. Sean rocks them, crushes them.
Rompers are tough too. Have you ever worn a man romper? It's a
romp him.
A romp him. That's that. Right. I knew you would know the answer to that. Have you ever worn a romp him?
No.
Okay.
Well,
try it
actually,
sometime
in the form
to go to
of
the
like you know, like the mechanic suits, like the,
Yeah.
I what guess I technically
a Dickies?
Have. Yes.
Yeah.
I guess that's a romp him to certain.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So the Dickies is cool though.
Sean has like little tiny legs. They're adorable. And if shorts have too big of like leg openings, then it looks like the sides of the shorts are just flopping around everywhere. And I think there are certain shorts that you wear that don't. I don't think
we'll have to try them on. You can be like, get rid of them or keep them.
It's the gray sweatpants shorts. They're cut, anyway. That'd be the one thing.
And it's too much. It's like Dumbo's ears flopping in the wind because your legs are so small.
I like looking at her legs, and now I'm distracted by the
by
extra
Dumbo
fabric
ears.
Situation. Yeah.
No one in the history has ever told me that my legs were too small in shorts. Just for the record, let me take that as a compliment.
Take it as a compliment.
Okay, what does Andrew have that you would love to throw in the garbage?
So this is strange, but it has like, there's a reason. So I don't even know what it's called, but it's your cycling. Is it a singlet?
Yeah.
Bib.
What's the alternative?
Shorts?
No, you have
to have padding
down there.
It's like a singlet and it just has like the things.
Yeah.
But hear me out. Why?
I'm shocked.
Hear me out. Why?
This is news.
You look hot in it. Okay. I'll take it. But I have seen your father wear the same one so many times that I can't disconnect the association there. And I just like every time you put it on, I'm like, I just see my father-in-law in the same thing.
So my dad is like 60. He's 270 pounds.
Yes.
He's an amazing athlete.
Wait, when you say 270, is he like a fit 270? Or is he, because 270 in a singlet to me doesn't sound like a fun look.
It's not like, he's not out of shape at all. He's very.
There's room for improvement. But he wears compression shorts or bike shorts.
I would say this. I just feel like dad's singlet is like two sizes too small.
Is it because you don't like the way I look in it? Or you think when I'm 60, I'll still be doing
what that's what I'm afraid of probably. So we should get just rid of it now.
Like bite it in the bud.
Yeah.
Nip it in the bud.
But I will give you that the singlet with that goes up and over so much better than the actual shorts though. Cause they're 100%. A little more high waisted. You've got like it feels better.
The actual shorts look better.
We got ourselves a cyclist here. Yeah. Everybody.
It's not even the padding doesn't bother me. It's just
it's the association. That's what I think it is. The association with your dad.
I'm not like out, you know, meandering the neighborhood.
But I have a question. Did you, before you guys answered the question, did you know the other person's answer?
No. Oh,
this is news to me.
This is news to me too.
Huh. Well, looks like you won't ever be cycling in anything comfortable for the rest of your life.
Looks like I won't be wearing sweatshorts again.
Jeans, Andrew.
Gray sweatshorts are going in the trash.
I think you're going to have to get yourself like a tri suit that like it's all one piece and that's going to be forever the new look for you.
Worst nightmare.
I
get so hot.
I sweat a lot. So I do pop the top quite a lot.
Go naked.
Take my shirt off.
Yeah, go naked on a bicycle and see if she likes that.
Yeah, just imagine that poor bike seat after.
Oh my God, the visual. This is where we land this plane, right?
We're off the rails. We're off the rails.
We are.
Hey, do you want to spend a minute or two telling us a little bit about Family Made? I know that's kind of your new thing and we'd love to make sure people are aware of it. Talk to us a little bit about what that is, if that's important.
So Sean and I have our own podcast called Couple Things. We've also been making YouTube videos for like 5 years. And we realized that there's a lot of people who want to hear this kind of like wholesome, I don't know. It doesn't even have to be that wholesome. Like, but there's a lot of people who want to do marriage well. They want to do parenting well. They want like, and they don't want to listen to Caller Daddy type podcasts, which are just raunchy. Like there's a lot of that on the internet. And so we were like, what if we filled this gap by creating a network of shows or creators that talk about the family from different angles? So like Sean and I, we get asked all the time, like, hey, how do you sleep train your kid? And we just aren't qualified to answer that. We also realize that we come from a very specific perspective being, you know, just she's from Iowa. I'm from Indiana. We have two kids. There's people who have adopted kids from across the world. They have seven kids. They have, they've been divorced or they're widowers. And so it's like, how can we kind of bring this group together to speak to this audience who's so eager to listen to that? So that's kind of the vision and the mission behind it is just to encourage and support families in whatever way we can, because Sean has an amazing background and there's so much intrigue that she's able to garnish. And so just like using that momentum to push this vision forward is the goal.
So what's the platform going to be? Is it like a video platform? Is it a podcast platform?
Many platforms. I call
all
it
the above.
Can I make my analogy? Don't use it.
I hate your analogy. No offense.
I call it the Barstool Sports of family lifestyle content. So like, just like Barstool, I mean, we're using the same social media apps that everyone else is. We don't have our own apps, but we're a hub for people to find us on video, on podcasts, on Instagram. And it's like the thing, you know,
that's awesome. And what's the name of that again?
Family Made.
Family Made.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to get Lauren and Zach a part of it because you guys do such a great job with your, you know.
We'll clean it up, I promise. Like the word wholesome.
No, yours is clean.
It's not like, hey, there's no cussing allowed, but it's like, hey, you're serious people with a mission of helping married couples. And like,
it's true.
There's more
or unmarried couples become well married.
It's just not like the Real Housewives or something or the Kardashians giving advice. It's basically. Yeah.
Do you want to know my piece of, there's a piece of trivia about me that you, I think is.
This is a germane great to this piece. Moment.
What? I have never once.
Oh yeah. We're best friends. I know everything about him.
I've never once in my life ever heard Kim Kardashian's voice.
Win. #win.
That's a piece of trivia about me. I used to be Kim Kardashian and Brene Brown, but somebody snuck Brene Brown. My wife did. She was
that
like
was for
audiobook.
The better. Brene Brown, you need to hear her. She is.
No,
I've good
successfully
stuff.
Made it to almost 50 can, years like, old without ever hearing Kim Kardashian's voice.
Interesting. I'm trying to think if I could like know what her voice.
But you've definitely heard it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you, man.
Right. Let's actually, good for you, man.
That's great. All right, good.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's officially land this plane. Family Made, when is that coming out? Or is it already out?
They're out. Look at their microphones.
It's out. It's coming out in phases. So there's a bunch of, there's like the podcast network, but we're also like working with experts, people who are actually qualified to like give information that we're not. So yeah. It's like, hey, here's a professional sleep training person. This is what they do. They can actually help you.
We'll figure out how to play our part. We're excited about it for you guys. And we're just really glad to be able to talk to you and be friends. It's really cool.
Glad to know you too as well. Thanks for having us on.
Of course.
Thank you. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Thank you to Sean and Andrew for taking time out of their busy schedule. They literally just landed back in the United States 12 hours ago. So we seriously appreciate them hopping on and chatting with us. I'm excited for you guys to get to know more about them. You can listen to their podcast. It's Couples Things. And then also Family Made is coming out in a different platform. So check them out. Thank you so much for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.